It is time for the Berkshire Edge on Air. You can find the Berkshire Edge online, of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing news, information, and community account events and more. They also have a magazine, but the BerkshireEdge.com is the location that you can find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And good morning to both of you, spread throughout the country.
Spread throughout the Northeast, at least.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, let us...
I'm in the Big Apple.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being in the Big Apple. David Taratuk joins us every week, and if he's not in the Big Apple, then he's all over the world. But it's nice to have you two together, together apart. All right, let's start off with the first story that's on top for this morning, and that is, what do you know? Boston acknowledges the western county of Massachusetts. Great Barrington will receive $2.1 million in COVID relief funds, and state auditors now acknowledge the state's east-west divide.
Well, you know, Great Barrington, you know, is on the other side of the Taconic Range from the Berkshire Mountains, from Boston. And the people in western Massachusetts, sometimes this far west anyways, sometimes feel like they're invisible to Boston. But not this time. We're getting $2.1 million in COVID relief funds, according to the state auditor, who acknowledged, can you believe it, the east-west divide in this state.
You know?
Listen, there have been times, in fact, we have written stories from time to time, people will periodically realize that Boston is ignoring them, and so they say, well, why don't we just secede as a county, and we can either join Vermont, or that's what the solution is, that we join Vermont.
Well,
and Vermont would then extend all the way down to the border of Vermont would extend down to Connecticut.
What's interesting about what problem you have is we have the same problem here in Northwest Connecticut. Most people in Connecticut think that Connecticut ends at Torrington. They forget about the rest of Connecticut, and our friends in eastern Dutchess County. A lot of people think that New York ends at the Hudson River, and they.
Right.
So our areas all have that problem. But I think, you know, I know in our area, the COVID funds that come into the towns, Sharon was the first town to do this. Sharon is allowing the town to participate in how those funds are spent, where they're going to have a meeting, and it's not just going to be up to the Board of Selectmen or the Board of Finance. Is Great Barrington doing the same thing?
Well, they haven't. That's the question. What to do with this windfall, and they're going to address. Of course, they have issues that they have to address, including public health impact on the county. And so there's a number of areas where they're going to have to spend this money, but it's not. It's not exactly, you know, free.
Yeah, no, it came out of somebody's pocket.
It does.
And also, you know, it seems like a huge amount of money, but
it's not.
I can't tell. I mean, I don't know whether it is. I mean, it seems like a huge amount of money. It's probably more. It's more than the Great Barrington annual town budget.
The annual town budget is far more than that. But the point is that they're going to have a community meeting to seek input from the public for ideas about how to address this windfall.
That's the way to do it
because, you know, we are in the town meeting form of government, which, you know, we meet each spring, and the town meeting itself, which is, you know, all the citizens can attend, all the voters can attend, determines where each month, I mean each year, the town's tax money is spent. So it's the selectmen in our form of t- town meeting form of government is merely the agents of the town meeting.
Exactly right. The Board of Finance and our selectmen are the ones that put things together, but then the ones that decide in town meeting government, and this is why it's so important for people to participate, are the people at the town meeting.
Right. And that's a very democratic way to do it. It's a very old-fashioned New England way to do it, you know. But it's very participatory, and people feel very involved in their own town government. So,
but the shocking thing is how few people actually attend.
That's true.
I mean, we had did we have 1,000 people? I mean, we had.
Not so many.
We had. I'm sorry, but I know that it was a small percentage of the number of eligible people who could have come to the
Well, lately, of course, because of COVID, we've had to hold. We can't hold it in the school auditorium, so we have a kind of.
No, we've had them in the parking lot.
We've had the parking lot of the high school. And people are in their cars listening to the radio where it's broadcasted. Listening to the meeting, right.
Well, it's great to see that these towns are lining up like this and allowing the people to be involved beforehand. And your next story goes with your state representative, William Pignatelli, calling for equity in the distribution of funds for infrastructure.
Yes. Well, listen, you know.
Can you imagine?
just as an example of how we're treated, within the last year, there were big announcements that they were going, or the last couple of years, there were big announcements they're going to increase east-west train service across Massachusetts. Of course, the furthest west was Springfield. So they were talking about train service between Boston and Springfield. Now, we are west of Springfield, and it's as if we didn't exist.
Yeah, it's
well, we're on the other side of the mountains, you know, and Boston just can't see it.
But there are train tracks.
It's funny because the more we look at these problems, we see how our areas are related, because it's the same thing here in Northwest Connecticut and Eastern New York. But you know what? It's good when you have, and I know some people are going to say, I'm not getting political here, but it's good when you have somebody who's your representative that's been around and has some name recognition in Boston to be out there fighting the fight for you.
Yes, and
we are very lucky to have Smitty.
Everybody calls him Smitty, and he's been at least 20 years that he's been our rep.
We're losing, because of the census, probably
a state senator in Western Massachusetts. And
no, not a state senator. The state senators are assigned, I mean, each county, but we're losing a rep.
All right, well, let's go on to, speaking about politicians and stuff, the Great Barrington Select Board. I'll tell you what, between the bridges and the Housatonic Waterworks, I don't know if I would want to be a select person.
I know. These are insurmountable problems.
You know, I see the pictures, and people are really starting to revolt. I see pictures now on a daily basis on Facebook from people that are fed up with the water, and they're putting the pictures of the water right out on Facebook.
Putting them on the edge for years now. I mean, we have one today.
This issue is a chronic issue for the little village of Housatonic, which is part of the town of Great Barrington. And they had their own, it's a relic of the past when water systems were privately owned. But they still have a privately owned water system. And it doesn't generate enough money, actually, to maintain itself. And they have... It's owned by a guy named Jim Mercer, whose family has owned the Housatonic Water Works, so-called, for generations. And the question is what to do with this, how to maintain this water system, this privately owned water system. So it's a relic of the past, in a way.
You know, sooner or later,
including the name. I mean, I love this Housatonic right. Water Works. It's sort of like a stop on the Monopoly board.
I was going to say, but you know, sooner or later, somebody or people are going to get together and they're going to sue. And there's only really two options: either the town takes it over, or someone comes up with money so people can drill their own wells. But it's sooner or later, it's got to come to a head, because I can see the residents are just totally at this point frustrated beyond belief.
Oh, can you imagine living in a house where you can't drink the water? I mean, the water is just disgusting. I mean, people are dependent on bottled water in their own homes.
This is I know when I first came to New England as a reporter in Bennington, Vermont, it was exactly the same issue. The village of Bennington had a private water system. And they had what was called a deed of gift, and the town had to spend years and years and years and lots of money and legal fees to try to disassemble that so-called deed of gift that made the water system privately owned and without the funds to actually maintain itself. So it's the same. It's the same situation here with the Housatonic Water Works, which is, a privately owned system.
You know, here in Northwest Connecticut, Salisbury has Aquarian in here, and Falls Village.
Falls Village
voted to change to have Aquarian come in and take over their water company. Sharon, right now, has its own water company, but I would think sooner or later, in the next 10 years. As rules change, as it costs more and more, that most of these companies that now are left will be purchased by other companies that can afford to bring safe and great water into communities. I don't see it changing in the future unless people really start acting up. And I feel sorry for the people in Housatonic, because not even you can't drink the water, but you don't feel great showering
it's
it or anything.
Right.
Who's going to
yeah.
get
washing your hair? You know.
Who's going to get in a bathtub for the since it fills up that's brown? Now, when you take a shower, it's a little different, but still, you know what's there. So it's going to be interesting to follow that over the course of the next couple of months.
Yeah, it
and see
is,
what happens.
And it really is a relic of the past.
It can't be allowed to continue. It can't. It just can't. I mean,
well, the question is,
that's the way I feel. And I don't
money.
Even,
I mean, don't even, there is no private firm that's going to come in and take this over. I mean, you know,
it's too small. The town is too small. It's not sustainable.
If I feel this way, I can imagine how the residents there feel.
Oh my God.
Well, I want to go to something different. I want to go to something different, because we covered two rallies over the weekend. One in Kent, which had about 300 to 500 people in it, and one in Salisbury, which had about 300 to 400 people in it, and that is the rally in Salisbury and Kent in support of women's rights.
Right.
Right.
We had a story about covering this rally to defend abortion rights and in opposing this Texas law, which prohibits abortion. So this is a national issue, but
hopefully sending a message to the Supreme Court when they start to rule on some of these laws. That seems like almost a hopeless cause.
It's such an important issue, and they used to call it a swing issue. It's no longer a swing issue. It is a hammer issue now. Over the past 8 years, the Republicans managed to get themselves a couple extra seats that really they shouldn't have had on the Supreme Court. But what's done is done. It wasn't illegal. It was unethical.
Right.
But I'll never forget what a Barack Obama. Elections have consequences, and these are the consequences we're facing right now, as individuals across the country.
Right.
Well, yes, but it is the way, you know, many of the voters wanted it. Although actually, you know, the support for abortion has the majority of the American population.
It just doesn't have the support in the gerrymandered districts.
Anti-abortion, which I refuse to call pro-life, because, you know, what kind of a life are they in favor of? I mean, you know, for babies to be born to parents who either can't afford them or, you know, babies who are, you know, hardly viable and... you know, it's a terrible burden, and no one is, nobody who's opposed to abortion is allocating money to take care of these children. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I would understand this compassion for the unborn if, you know, social policy were providing for them, you know, for after they're born. I mean, then I could say, well, this is a humanitarian effort, but... Right now, you know, it just puts the burdens on the mothers who, you know, who can't afford it, or either emotionally or financially to begin with, and now they're being forced to have children that they can't deal with and whom they can't raise appropriately, and no one is coming to help them after the birth. It's, you know, it's only before the birth that everybody is concerned about the, you know, the life of this baby.
Just remember this, that there's a majority of people that voted for Joe Biden. There's a majority of people that want abortions and the women's right to choose. But because Republicans and Democrats for years have been gerrymandering districts, and the Republicans have been very good at it, gerrymandering districts rules the day. And that's, the, you know, there's a whole slew of problems that this country faces as a country. And it's going to be very interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see if people's will can prevail. That's all. You know, it's very hard to look at any other way, because if you leave it up to Washington, nothing's going to change right now. I want to move on to the final two stories. The Community Development Corporation in South Berkshire, a fundraiser for affordable housing, and they're showing the film Citizen Jane. Yep.
Oh, yeah. So this is about Jane Jacobs. You know, I don't know if many of your listeners know who Jane Jacobs was, but she was a housewife in Greenwich Village in New York, who started a movement to fight against the village being cut in half by a road, which, what's his name?
Robert Moses.
The power broker, Robert Moses, had proposed. She won. I mean, he wanted, you know, Robert Moses was the great road builder, among other things, and he wanted to cut a road right through the community of Greenwich Village, as he was able to do through the communities in the South Bronx, and destroyed the communities. She was determined that he not destroy the village, and she won, and she wrote a seminal book called The Life and Death of Great American Cities. I think it was written in the 60s. And so this is a film about what makes viable community.
You know, if you look at the George Washington Bridge, before the George Washington Bridge and when they put that in, they separated many communities and totally changed the outlook of that portion of New York when they put the highway in to feed the George Washington Bridge. A lot of people forget about the time when... community development was to raise the old and just to put in new, and not recognize the importance of having a community or the old community. And if you put 8 lanes of highway in between two sections of the community, you make it harder for that community to act as an individual community. It's just
true. Well, but these roads, serve to further, isolate people public transportation it builds communities, and the automobile, seems to separate them.
Well, it happened in Kingston, New York, years ago. Kingston had a viable downtown, Broadway, and everything like that, and uptown. And then someone came up with the idea, let's put a bypass in so people can get around Kingston much quicker and go north. And really, it was the death knell for the downtown and the midtown area, which now recovering, by the way. But really, what seemed like what was a great idea turned out to be a very, very bad idea.
Right.
Which cost a lot of businesses their business. Well, final story, and we're going to have a good final story, and that is celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, October 11th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, yes, this is the replacement for Columbus Day.
Right, renaming
Indigenous Peoples Day.
Right.
Pardon?
Renaming it, right.
Renaming it, right.
Well, refocusing its attention.
Right.
And, well, there's been that old, the Indigenous Peoples of Western Massachusetts had their land kind of taken away from them years ago, there's been since then there have still been people who have remembered that theft, you might say, and so there's been an active Indigenous Peoples movement here in Western Massachusetts, and So this is a day to kind of honor that that legacy of this area.
And you know what I find interesting, people are against it. Is people can still celebrate if they want to. Christopher Columbus. I mean, that's their right as Italians, and that's their people. But also, you recognize exactly the full history of the country by having a day like this as well. That's I know it, to a lot of people it seems foolish, but it's not. I mean, you're not saying Italians can't celebrate Christopher Columbus coming over here. You're just saying that there's a lot of other people that make up this country and make the country what it is.
Right.
That's right.
And, these people were not waiting to be discovered.
No.
They weren't waving signs on Cape Cod saying, discover us. Right.
Discover us, right.
Don't go by, here we are. Right.
Damn, I can see them.
Until you discover us, we do not exist, right?
Where's the Nina, the Pinta, and Santa Maria? We're waiting here for it over here.
Exactly, because we don't exist until you discover us. Meanwhile, they were living perfectly fine, perfectly well.
Well, these stories and many, many more every day, 24 hours a day at theberkshireedge.com, also in their magazine segment, which comes out. And guys,
Magazine will come out, the next issue, the first week in November.
All right. Well, I think this worked out pretty good for being in two different locations. So
yeah, we can still talk.
All right, guys, we will speak to you next week.
Okay, Marshall, have a good week.
All right, take care.
You bet.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. Once again, you can find them at theberkshireedge.com.